Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. For the second time this week, an American show business giant is gone. On Monday, we remembered Fred Astaire's understated elegance and debonair style. Jackie Gleason was cut from a much different mold, but was just as beloved, perhaps because he was more like us. Gleason died last night in his suburban Fort Lauderdale, Florida home, a victim of cancer at age 71. His third wife, Marilyn, was at his bedside and said the great one passed away quietly. As we hear from David Browning, Gleason in life was anything but quiet.
How sweet it is!
How sweet it was, Jackie Gleason's brash and blustery humor. Think of all the characters he left us. Reggie Van Gleason tussling with his cocktail shaker. The poor soul tussling with life in general. Ralph Cramden tussling with Norton and with Alice.
All I know is when Alice starts up with me, I give her that King of the Castle routine and you're a nobody and she shuts right up. I'm king. So how come the king is sleeping in the kitchen and the two nobodies have got the bedroom?
One of these days. One of these days. Pow! Right in your kiss.
Gleason's comedy and his drama came from real life. The Honeymooners' dingy apartment, much like the one where the great one grew up in Brooklyn. The seedy pool rooms of the movie The Hustler, just like the ones where Gleason himself became a teenage pool shark. His philosophy was basically, anything worth doing is worth doing to excess. He drank and he smoked and he partied prodigiously. And even after a triple heart bypass operation 9 years ago, he kept right on. In recent years, he lived quietly in Florida with his third wife, reading, golfing, hustling a little pool with the occasional visitor, and wondering about life and death.
If the rules are true of what you have to do to get to heaven, I certainly don't deserve going there. But if God is what he has been said to be, I'm sure that he isn't vengeful. I'm sure that if you've committed a sin, he's not going to send you to hell for eternity.
The great one, Jackie Gleason, is survived by Ralph Cramden and Alice and the Nortons. They all live on in perpetual reruns. David Browning, CBS News, Hollywood.
Gleason's television wife, Alice, was, of course, played by Audrey Meadows. She recalled their days on the Honeymooners.
I know it was the greatest experience of my life working with him, because he was just magic. Just one of the most brilliant performers that we have ever had in our business.
Another pioneer of television comedy was Milton Berle, a friend for 45 years.
I think Jackie went the way that he wanted to. He was called the Great One, and he'll always be the Great One. He lived his life the way that he wanted to.
Berle said Gleason's heavy smoking and drinking were part of a lifestyle he chose to lead. Danny Thomas said when friends asked him to quit, the answer was, what, just to live a little longer? Jackie Gleason, the Great One, dead of cancer at 71. The time now, 3:30 past the hour. Pope John Paul II today welcomed Austria's president for an official Vatican audience that has angered Jews and others because of Kurt Waldheim's German war record. Mark Phillips reports.
Under intense security, his state visit to the Vatican took place on schedule. In a rare move, St. Peter's Square was completely sealed off as Waldheim arrived. He was given full diplomatic honors in a Vatican courtyard. Once inside, he was greeted by Pope John Paul II. The Pope referred favorably to Waldheim's diplomatic role over the years, but made no mention of his wartime past, or to the dispute over what Waldheim had done as a German officer during that time. For his part, Waldheim talked of the Pope's moral authority, the conscience of the world, he called him. The morality of this event is just what those opposed to it are concerned about. They fear the visit will legitimize Waldheim. Outside, beyond the police lines, protesters, many of them non-Jews, chanted shame and assassin. For about 20 former concentration camp inmates, numbers tattooed on their arms, carried placards and a fake gallows. The visit ends with a diplomatic reception this afternoon that is being boycotted by some ambassadors, including the American. The lower-level representation, a signal to the Vatican of displeasure over this controversial event. Mark Phillips, CBS News, the Vatican.
South Korea's embattled government today promised stern new action to deal with further protests. Barry Peterson is in Seoul.
For the most part, Korea was quiet today amid growing concern over nationwide protest marches called for tomorrow night. Police issued a statement warning of stern measures and urging people to avoid the marches. Meanwhile, Assistant Secretary of State Gaston Seeger ended a three-day trip that will form a personal report to President Reagan. One clear message, the U.S. sees no need to get directly involved.
They have done magical things since the end of the Korean War. They've accomplished just tremendous things. And I don't think the magic is gone.
There was praise for America's role today from opposition leader Kim Dae-jung, freed from house arrest by a government anxious to ease tensions. Kim said America should not intervene, even on his side. Kim is not sure if he will take part in tomorrow's marches. If he does, say his aides, he may find himself under house arrest again. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Seoul.
Syrian troops are today ringing a South Beirut slum stronghold of Shiite Muslim militiamen. It's part of the Syrian effort to pressure the release of kidnapped U.S. journalist Charles Glass. Having struck a deal for Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North to begin his public testimony on July 7th, the Congressional Iran-Contra Committees have now won access to another rich load of evidence. Deborah Potter is covering the hearings.
Congressional investigators have reached an agreement with the government of Israel that could provide significant new information about the Iran arms deal. The Israelis were involved in the early shipments of U.S. weapons to Iran, and Senate Chairman Inouye says they can reveal important facts.
Without such voluntary assistance, relevant facts would not be available to us or to the public. And without these facts, our investigation could not be considered complete.
This morning, the committees are hearing from Assistant Attorney General Charles Cooper, who was called in last fall to investigate when the affair broke and uncovered the diversion of funds to the Contras. Cooper interviewed most of the key players within the administration, including Oliver North, who has since refused to answer any further questions. But he is now scheduled to break his silence in a public appearance before these committees early next month. Deborah Potter, CBS News on Capitol Hill.
In the latest of many bizarre Oliver North stories, Washingtonian magazine reports he engineered the theft of a trainload of Soviet weapons in Poland. The magazine says North worked with a French businessman with contacts in Poland's dissident underground and, using fake documents supplied by the CIA, had the train diverted to East Germany. The arms were then reportedly smuggled through West Germany to the Contra rebels in Nicaragua. Democratic congressional leaders today agreed to support a proposed deployment of U.S. forces to the Persian Gulf to protect Kuwaiti oil tankers. The dollar bounced back in Tokyo, closing at 145.42 yen. In London, gold prices slipped $2.50, and on Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are ahead 12.44. 10 past 7.